This is the Red Bull Rant Podcast. If you aren't expecting adult language, why even bother listening?
Welcome, my friends, to the Show No Friends. This is the Red Bull Rant Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Iapico.
I'm Truman, and this is episode 455. I never thought I would say this, but this episode is called A View from the Top. Enjoy it while it lasts, because it could last to the weekend.
It's been a while since we've been here, right?
Yes, and we're going to drink it in.
I mean, we're only up here by the technicality of playing one more game in Vancouver, but I'll take it.
Hey, we're the beast of the East. That's all that matters to me.
Exactly. All right. Let's get into recaps. I know it's been 2 weeks. Sorry about that. Again, life, it happens. So hopefully things will get better for the rest of the season, because we're not off to a great start, but I think like the Red Bulls were going to pick it up.
We're trying.
So two matches to talk about. First, the Easter weekend draw at Orlando 1-1, followed up by what I can only call a shocking 2-1 victory at FC Cincinnati. Before we get our thoughts, Truman, do you have the tweets ready for this?
Yeah, I mean, not a ton. The problem was no one was watching the Orlando game live, right? I mean, I listened to the end of the game while driving home in my car. So there was no way I could tweet about it. I know you weren't watching live, and I think even Pat was like our backup man, couldn't do it. So just one tweet there. Yeah. So it was a very quick tweet.
I was doing like Easter dinner with my family the night before.
So. That's right. Yeah. So, Steven Santos said about that game, 1-1 draw, enough said on the road. We'll get to that draw in a minute for sure. And then let me get to the tweets from the other game. A few more. Our friend Eddie Pierre Delecto said, Ohio is not real and it still fucking isn't. Red Coach J. Jeremiah, hope Frankie pauses to piss on the goalpost before he leaves the field. Oh, we're going to talk about that too. Yep. Creepy Tackies, Steven Santos said, we won on the road. Nice. I think my friend was at GCW that weekend, so I don't even know if he was watching the game live. Because there was a lot going on that weekend. And then our friend Tonino M said, thought, nice view from the top. Hey, that sounds familiar. Question, are we really that good? We can talk about that too. Rant, imagine how much better we'd be if we had that elusive striker. Come on, Red Bull front office. LOL, okay, I'm stretching a bit here. I will say this, my friend. They might have found them. And I say them. Because I think Lewis Morgan is now the striker.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into this one. Likes and dislikes. We'll just do both in one shot. So, Truman, you go first. What do you dislike about these matches?
There's a few things we can definitely nitpick here. I'll say the biggest one for me is losing those 3 points in Orlando, because I think they missed a lot of opportunities to maybe score a second goal, and just giving up a late own goal against an Orlando team that really showed not a lot until the second half in that game. Like Steven Santos said, a road draw is never a bad thing for the most part, but I really think we could have taken all 3 points, and we could have come away with 6 points in two games on the road, which would have been absolutely fucking bananas, because that would have been, I mean, they're still on what they have, the win in Dallas, a draw, only one loss on the road so far. They're playing great. I guess that's my only real nitpicky thing right now.
Yeah, I mean, three match unbeaten streak. Mm-hmm. Nothing to sneeze at.
No.
My dislike is because it would have absolutely put that Orlando game away. Elias Manoel, come on. You had the keeper one-on-one. Didn't even challenge him, really. Like, try a chip. Try going around him. Do something. Like, you got to put that shot on frame and make the keeper save it.
Second half, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would have put the game away at that point.
It absolutely would have. All right, likes. I'm going to say that second goal in Cincy, because not only did we see Van Zier score, right, which I think they said it was only like his third goal in MLS since coming last year, so that's huge. I mean, I don't remember if he scored in the Open Cup or not, but still, he's less than probably five goals in his little over a year with the team. But that cutback was just dirty how it took out two defenders.
Watch his feet again on that one. It's unbelievable.
All right, so what was your like?
Well, I'll get to mine in a minute. I just want to follow up with yours too. I mean, again, Emil Forsberg with the assist to him too. I mean, those guys with Lewis Morgan, right? Who knows what the limits are with these guys? Have been playing fantastic. But hey, let's give it up for Frankie Amaya, right? That was fantastic. Creating the turnover, first of all, getting the ball back, the press worked. Creating that turnover, passing it up, Van Zier passing to him, him scoring, him in the corner, putting his hands up. Cincy fans thinks he was giving them the finger by a picture they saw, which was not the middle finger. It was literally his index finger to his ear. They're just digging. That was awesome. Awesome, awesome. I love what Frankie said after the game was he's pretty much moved on from them. He said the way he left was kind of on him. He took responsibility for it, but he's over it. He doesn't care what the fans do. What a great goal to get that team right back in after giving up that goal in the third minute, leveling the game, playing their asses off. And that is just an absolutely fucking huge, huge, huge win on the road. I mean, how much bigger can you get than that game and beating them in their building? Massive.
Yeah.
Huge.
I mean, when they gave up that goal, I honestly thought it was going to be a bad night.
Yeah. You're like, oh God, 3 minutes in. But it happened in Dallas, right? When was that goal? That was, it wasn't 3 minutes in, but it was early on, like 7 minutes into that game. But yeah, against Cincy, right? You're like, oh God, oh Jesus. Like this is going to be tough. But I mean, that is the team, this team with that captain. And I mean, Dante's playing, that was another 2-point game for him. If you wanted to jump in afterthoughts, because my only little dislike, I'm not going to get mad at Lewis Morgan missing the penalty kick, because he took that was a great save. It was a great save. So nothing against him. I think on that goal in the third minute, the only thing that got me really upset was that it was a Kubo who scored pretty much unmarked, two defenders, not even looking at where he was. Two guys is ball watching, and that will always drive me absolutely bananas. That drives me so crazy, not paying attention to the guy behind you. I mean, once it got to him, that was the easiest header tapping you could possibly ask for. But let's not happen. Hey, you don't make that mistake again. You're not giving up that goal. Equals better results down the road as well.
Yeah, my biggest problem with that goal was just the fact that our defense was in shambles for some reason. So the Houston game, by the way, it was the seventh minute.
Oh, Houston, not Dallas. Sorry.
Yeah, we played Dallas at home.
Home win, right. Houston, Texas. It's very confusing. Yeah. It's a big state.
All right. Afterthoughts?
we're excited. And I think there's a reason to be excited about this team right now. We shook off that Columbus loss. You and I have both said, I think everybody said that was not the game that lost the panic with this team, that they're going to settle in. And they've proved that so far. They haven't lost since that game. So, right. We are only a few games into this season, but You have to like what you see. I really am really hoping Dante VanZier starts getting that scoring touch, because he has no problem giving those assists, which he's been fantastic on. Him and Lewis Morgan up top, that's the winning combination. It really is.
It's a thing of beauty seeing one pull defenders away from the other constantly.
Yeah. Yep. And you know, you could talk about that. And it was fantastic. That's what we want to see out of him. And we've seen the play. He just hasn't put it into the net. But we've seen him create chances, obviously, with all the assists. He's gotten close on scoring goals. Like, the guy moves really, really well. Really well inside the box.
Yeah. I think what is an interesting stat, if you look at VanZier, the last five goals from the run of play, and I have to caveat it because the Orlando game, it was a penalty kick goal that we got. I'm sorry, six. The last six from run of play, VanZier has an assist or goal on all six of those.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, granted, that's two games, but still.
Yeah. Right, because he had one massive, massive game.
But still. If you look at it, but if you look at it, his uptick in production has coincided with Lewis Morgan returning to form.
Yeah, 100%. Healthy Lewis Morgan.
It's amazing what happens when you have players that, like, one that can produce and kind of lifts everybody with him, right?
Yep. And I really believe that Elias Manuel is going to be a great option off the bench. I really do. That's the guy you want. I know we're going to beat this drum probably through half the season if the team keeps playing well. But he's so much better than seeing Tom Barlow come off that bench.
Honestly, yeah. If Barlow was in during that Orlando game, there's not even a breakaway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, fucking hell, this team is fun to watch again. Really fun to watch.
The first time since the year after Marsh left.
Yep.
So what?
Getting into the playoffs, you expect 2019? Nothing. Yeah, I think so.
I think Marsh left in 18, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Oh, and Jay, we're talking about a team that's been in the playoffs all of those years.
I know. That's the sad part about this.
Playoffs. But they right.
The playoffs. The Jim Mora playoffs right now.
I want to get back to Nino M. The question, are we really that good? I think they are. I think they really are that good. I really do. We've known for years that the defense has been solid and the goalkeeping is outstanding. I don't think that has ever been a problem. Again, like you said, minus a hiccup, you know, the goal given up against Cincinnati, for the most part, they're an extremely solid defensive team, and it was all about, good God, how do we score goals? And so far, this season they've figured it out with Forsberg leading that attack. I really do think we're that good. I really do.
And if you look at it, and it's a weird way I'm going to phrase this, but if you look at it, their worst home game is behind them. Miami was on paper the worst home game because whether Messi or not was going to be there, that was going to generally be a pro-Miami crowd.
Yep.
Right? And we've only played, I think, three at home so far?
Yeah. Yeah,
Dallas, they played Miami.
A lot of road games.
They have a lot of home games that I mean, it's going to bounce itself out over the year, right? We're not like we're, you know, half or a third of the season, way through the season already, but we have played a lot of road games. We've lost one against the defending MLS Cup champions, who were at full strength for the most part in that game too.
Mm-hmm.
And we were without, at that point, Forsberg. Lewis Morgan was still kind of coming back from his injury.
Forsberg was in that game. He was in that game.
Forsberg?
Yeah, because if you remember that game, we're like, where the hell did the team that just won that game the week before, where did they go?
I thought that was the international. Oh, no, Miami was the international break. I'm sorry. You're right. He was in that game.
Right, and we were kind of like, uh-oh. But we said after it, hey, you're playing the Crew. Great team on the road. Don't go crazy over that loss.
And it was also one of those things, like, you're still early in the season, so there's the gelling aspect and all that stuff. There's another level available to this team still, if you think about it. LA has not started since he got back from international duty. Why, I'm not honestly not sure, but he hasn't. And Reyes has been decent.
Ball maybe, watching. Like, a little bit of ball watching there.
Let's give him, like, I don't know, like a B-plus grade. Like, for an MLS defender, he's in the top half of the defenders right now.
Yeah.
But before Ellie left for international duty, we talked about how we got a new center back pairing and we hadn't lost a step on defense. If Ellie gets back to full health and they put him in there, I'm assuming that there's a health reason that they haven't started in the last few games, but once he gets back to starting form and he gets in there on a regular basis.
Right, because we've seen what he's capable. We really, own goal aside. Right, we've seen the good, and I think the good's going to outweigh any of that bad.
Yeah. And it would be nice if they could add a piece or two, but for the most part, it's hard to find a consistent weak link on this team. Don't get me wrong, there will be weeks where, like, one player won't be up to snuff, and that will be weak link, but it's not like you could pinpoint, hey, our center attacking midfielder just can't do anything. This team doesn't have that problem this year.
As long as Kyle Duncan doesn't keep making silly fouls.
Well, okay. So I guess he right now is the weak link.
Kyle Duncan, I love that guy. But just right, stop making up silly fouls.
Let's call him the weak link for now, just because of that. But that's a mental thing. So, I mean, from a pure talent perspective, this is the best team we have had since the Shield years.
Yeah. Getting so far ahead of ourselves. But I don't care. I like this team.
Well, I don't remember when it was. I remember seeing an iTunes thing saying we've been way too negative. So screw them. I don't think it was any time like the last 6 months. I think it was more than a year. But it's like, wow, this team was so bad. Why wouldn't it be negative? All right. Any other thoughts on these games?
No, I think we've gone on enough. I want to talk about the index, by the way.
How I am not getting the MacBook enough, but two,
who is meh? Who is meh? Which one of you? Call yourself.
So 96.3% happy, 3.7 meh.
Who are you?
I swear. It's got to be Rich Ransom and I can't remember his name. I can't remember his name, the New York City fan that we have.
Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
Mike.
It's got to be them, right?
Sabotaging the pain index.
I mean, it's went up because the last time I put it out there, which was 2 weeks ago, it was 93% happy and 6% meh.
Yeah.
So that 3% shift is good. Which I do plan on putting stats together for that, by the way. I think I'm going to start doing this tonight. All right. Prediction standings, nothing changed because Truman and I got nothing right.
I should have flip-flopped it. I wish I could go back in time and just switch my predictions and I would have been crushing it. That's on me.
Yeah, I predicted the loss against Cincy because, like, there's no way they're even going to get close to a draw. And then it was 1-1. I'm like, God damn it, Truman's going to get this. I just know it. But yeah, so Truman's in first with 6 points. I'm in second with two. But we'll each have a chance for three more this weekend, along with the Red Bulls, who will be hosting the Chicago Fire at home. That match is Saturday, April 13th, 7:30 p.m. Chicago comes into this match with a 2-2-3 record, 8 points, -3 goal difference, number 10 in the Eastern Conference. I do not know if Tom Barlow is coming. I assume he's playing. I have not checked in on him to see how he's doing. So, Truman, but as the current leader, you get to go first. What do you think is going to happen on Saturday?
Fuck Chicago. You got to keep the momentum going. I think it's as simple as that. This team coming in, you do not walk out of that building without 3 points. You just don't do it. You have to keep this. This is a Chicago playing okay right now, but we are not an okay team. We are a really good team, full strength. 3-0. I know I'm getting a little crazy, but this is a game they should win handily when you're at home with the momentum. The crowd should be on your side. It should be a decent night. I think it's going to be low 50s. I don't think there's a lot of rain in the forecast. I think there was a little, no, it just says cloudy and 54. So you'll probably be in low 50 kickoff.
Good. First time all year. We're not going to have a monsoon for the Red Bulls.
right? I mean, that is, you should have everything going. And I really think, and we're seeing it, that Emil Forsberg is such a difference maker as a leader, not just a player on the field, but as a leader, that he should be the guy like, we're not going to fucking lose this game.
Yeah. Forsberg may not have won a title at Leipzig, but he did win, I believe, some, I forget what they call it, the whatever their cup tournament is. I think he won at least a few of those. So he knows how to win.
Yeah.
My prediction, I'm going to say a win, but I can't do 3-0. I can't be the same as you. I'm going to say 2-0 because I don't know. I don't think we can recapture that game against Miami just yet. I feel like we should, because Chicago is not close to Miami in terms of talent.
Mm-hmm.
But that 4-0 was such a weird game because it was 1-0 at halftime and we just somehow destroyed them in the second half. I'm going to say 2-0. I feel like you said, Chicago's not great. It's kind of middling at this point. We should absolutely not be after what happened in Cincy. But I don't think we're going to blow them out of the water either. So, by the way, I did look it up. Barlow did not play in Chicago's last match.
Okay. And listen, Chicago, you don't get the crazy wind on your side in this game. There's no wind blowing balls in the net on this one.
You know what's funny? When I did a search for Chicago Fire, the TV show came up first. and the soccer team's been around a lot longer. We can't lose to a team that's not even the first in the search engine results for their name.
God.
All right, with that, it is time for the Red Bull F1 update.
And box now, box for hard. Stay out.
Well, Jay, I believe on the last show I said there was no way in hell I was going to stay up to watch the beginning of this race. Guess what?
You watched the whole thing, didn't you?
I did not. That was been completely insane. What actually happened was I was in Pawtucket, Rhode Island to go see a show. So by the time the show ended, it was around, it was before midnight. So when I put on the GPS to go home, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be home at 1:14. Well, okay. So I literally get home, took a shower. I'm like, all right, I'll watch like a half hour. So I started it from the beginning and I watched probably a good half hour of the race. I probably watched, I would say 20 laps or so. And I'm like, no, I just, so
you, I'm assuming you fast since, you did not start live, that you were able to fast forward through like the 20-minute red flag,
yes,
right?
Yes. Thank God. Yeah. Yes. That was the best thing that happened. Thank you, DVR, because that definitely saved me.
I was going to say, there's no way that like you turned it on and then it's like red flag. And you're like, fuck. And then you just turned it off, went back to sleep.
That would have sucked if I could only stay awake and like, and it was live and it was just a red flag. And I'm like, oh, that's stupid. So then I'm like, well, I got to work tomorrow, but try to wake up early. And then, of course, my body just wakes me up in the morning. I'm like, no, I got 2 hours before work. Guess I'll watch the rest of it. And the good thing when you DVR the race, there's a lot of spots you can fast forward through in those middle laps because it's just Max Verstappen dominating everybody over and over and over again. So I'm like, oh, this is great. You know, oh, he pitted. Okay, he's back out. You know, let me watch the last, like, the 12, 15 laps, you know, regularly. But Red Bull won too. There you go. They said, I think they talked about a lot during that race, is that this place where usually they lock, like what do they call it? Like the front row lockout. Usually the guys in first and second ended up finishing first and second. Dominating performance. You know, they feel a lot better of themselves after that one. And then I think we have another weekend off again, which is driving me crazy because this is my Sunday off. Why can't we got to get back to a schedule where they're racing on my weekend off? Because next we are there in China. So that start is, drum roll please, 3 a.m. I will 100%, I guarantee you all, I will not be awake for that.
That's a night race, isn't it? Because there's no way being 2 hours later in a time zone that's, I think, closer to us isn't a night race.
Gotta be. So yeah, I will not be awake at all for that one.
Yeah. And then I think there's a week off before Miami too.
I probably haven't seen 3 a.m. in, I don't even know, 15 years.
Saw 3 a.m. literally the morning of my birthday in 2022. Because I was working from the night before.
Oof.
I remember correctly, I worked from about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning till about 2:30 the following morning.
Good God, man.
And then drove home and passed out. And then took off for my birthday and the rest of the holidays. So.
That's bananas.
Yeah. All right. With that, oh, by the way, I realized I got to get some more F1 sounds. I gotta mix it up a little bit. You say Yuki?
Yeah, we need some good Yuki.
Yeah.
Yuki finished 10th, which is awesome, in front of his home fans. They were going nuts. Like, he'd won the race. They loved it.
Yeah. I feel sorry for Logan Sargeant at this point.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? He also, he's not doing himself any favors either.
Oh, no, he's not. But he gets the banged up car for this race, qualifies at the bottom of the list, and then his teammate goes out, so you think, oh hey, I don't have to fight my teammate for anything, and then he can't even like get close to them.
Yeah.
All right, with that, it's time for an update on Gotham FC. They lost their last match, 1-0 to North Carolina Courage. Puts the record at 1-0-1. 3 points, a 0-goal difference, because it's 2-1-0 games. Number 7 in the NWSL, so basically middle of the table.
So they didn't play last week then, because that's, I think, the last time we updated it was just those two games.
No, they played last weekend, because North Carolina Courage happened after Easter. Or happened after we recorded. So it may have happened on Easter weekend, but we didn't talk about them losing that game. Their next match is on Sunday, April 14th, 6 p.m., where they will host the KC Current. Red Bulls 2, since we've last spoke, they lost their U.S. Open Cup match to New York City FC 2 by a score of 4-2, which they then followed up with a MLS Next Pro 1-0 win at New York City FC 2.
I know, so weird. So weird.
So their MLS Next Pro record is 3-1-0, 11 points, a +9 goal difference in the league, number one in the Eastern Conference. Their next match is against Chicago FC United.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like they heard the gripe about using the FC United shit in the United States. Like, well, why don't we just double down on that? that match is a home game for them, Sunday, April 14th, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. With that, it is time for Dumping Ground.
I'm the trash man!
Lots to talk about. First, all right, the first thing I want to bring up, the Orlando game, that 1-1 draw, and where I was driving home from, I just want to bring up really quick, was first time I ever got to go to a NCAA tournament game, and it was the Elite Eight final at Boston Garden, Illinois versus UConn, which saw UConn go on a 27-point run to start the second half?
I thought it was 30 for some reason.
It was something bananas. I've never seen anything like it. First tournament game I've ever been to. I've been to some Rutgers basketball games. Which are awesome, but the atmosphere, first of all, two teams, I didn't care who won. It didn't matter to me at all. We definitely pulled for UConn because they were the home favorite being in Boston, and they had so many fans, so we were pretending that we were big fans of them. But what a cool thing to see. I got to see guys cut down nets and celebrations and confetti, and that was awesome. I highly recommend, if you ever have a chance, we just really lucked out. I'd like to thank my job. We kind of fell into those tickets through my workplace, so I didn't have to pay, because I think those tickets were like $500 where we were sitting, and I don't have that kind of money to go to an NCAA final game. So it was awesome. And then, again, congratulations, UConn, who won it all. Very cool. Again, great atmosphere. Highly recommend. Have you ever been to a college game, Jay?
Let's see. I went to one Rutgers game at the RAC, and then I went to, I think while I was still in high school, I went to a Big East, or a pair of Big East tournament games at the Garden.
Which is another great event.
Which I think it was like the opening day or second day or something like that. That one was like one of my buddies in high school. His dad got tickets through work, so we were able to go in and stay for a doubleheader, which was kind of nice.
And you know, if you've never been to a game at the RAC, that is just one of the best atmospheres in college basketball. I mean,
well, when that's the problem for me was I went. That was a high school trip thing. So we're talking. Like that had to be like 2000, 2001. So maybe not to the same level it is now. Yeah. I mean, come on.
When that team is good, I think they're going to be good in about a year or so. They got a couple of really good players. That is an awesome atmosphere. I know a bunch of our friends have definitely gone to games there. Listeners of the show. Great spot. Great spot for college basketball. We're fucking talking about every sport. That's how we do things around here. And I mean, lastly, right, Mania, got to talk about it. What'd you think?
So I only watched, I tuned in late Saturday night to watch, I guess it came in like the middle of the tag match on Saturday night.
Okay.
The Cody Rhodes tag match.
Yeah.
And then I lucked in, because my wife won't watch wrestling with me, which, side note, she's like, I don't know how you can get into this. And I turn around and like, how can you get into reality shows? Like,
seriously, it's the same thing.
Yeah,
it's a version.
Yeah. But I tuned in Sunday night somehow I got in like right at the introductions for the title match between Cody and Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
And I got, you know there was gonna be some shenanigans, but damn, they were just pulling out like all the nostalgia pops, almost all the nostalgia pops for that night.
We all theorized that Stone Cold couldn't be there, so that's why they got The Undertaker to show up for no reason whatsoever. It's the only thing that made zero sense. Everything else made sense. Cena showing up made sense. Seth Rollins showing up in the Shield gear was great. And because the match was fantastic.
When I heard the Shield music hit, my first thought was, shit, did they get Dean Ambrose for one night? What the hell's going on here?
Does it still John Moxley become Dean Ambrose again? Or is it going to be a bunch of people just like pretending to be the Shield? But that was great. And then Roman hitting him from behind from the chair. That was brilliant. I just wish it was Stone Cold and not The Undertaker. Because The Undertaker was literally, I'm just a guy in a hoodie taker. That's all he was.
Wasn't The Undertaker and The Rock in the corporation at the same time during the Attitude Era or something like that?
I don't think so, because he was like doing the corporate ministry. I don't know. It was, but there was no like big connection like Rock Cena. Well, first Solo Sikoa Cena, right? Because Solo beat the hell out of him at Crown Jewel, so he gets payback for that. Then him and The Rock gets payback on Cena for beating him at their last WrestleMania match. Makes sense.
Out of the three of those, or whatever it is, yeah.
Right. So then, what would also make sense was Stone Cold showing up to take down The Rock. Of course,
yeah.
They had three WrestleMania matches. But hey, aside from that, that is a minor gripe. I really only watched Sunday, little highlights here and there Saturday, but Sunday was top to bottom a great show. But that main event, that's how you do it. And I think everybody's glad they waited another year for Cody to win the championship.
And I'm glad they didn't just give it back to Reigns again.
Oh, God, Philly would have burned that place to the ground.
I mean, I guess if it wasn't Cody, then they would have been okay giving it back to Reigns. But with the whole finish the story, you got to let it happen.
You have to. You have to. There was no way you had them win.
But that, you know, it kind of makes you wonder what the original plan was, because right after he won the Rumble, he gave up the spot to The Rock. And then they clearly just changed because they realized how much of a mistake it was.
Yep.
I wonder what the original plan was. Like, was The Rock going to come in and, like,
maybe they would
barely
discuss,
lose?
They did that Peacock special about behind the scenes. Maybe they discuss it on that.
Yeah. The only thing that would make sense is for Rock to like barely lose. This way Reigns could claim the head of the family status. But I'm glad they went the way they did.
Yeah, the fans were not having that. They were not.
Hey, at least the Rhodes finally won a WWE heavyweight title.
Correct. Yep. Not a U.S. belt, not a tag belt, not Intercontinental, the big one.
So there was two things I had for Dumping Ground. I think we're going to – this one's just a very quick note. Pat McAfee, most notably known for his TV show that's now on ESPN, is going to enter a team into, quote, the soccer tournament, which is a 7-on-7 or 7-of-the-side soccer tournament, which I think is actually kind of cool. Hoping he kind of brings some fans to the sport doing so. I mean, at least that's my hope. I don't watch that tournament, but I'm hoping like if he brings some people, like, oh, this is cool, and then check out other things. So
can a team be called like the Pundits, and he just gets like he gets Timmy Howard, he gets Sasha, he gets Bradley, you get Taylor Twellman in there. It's just awful.
That'd be kind of cool, honestly. For some reason, Alexi Lawless shows up.
Yeah, like say plays just play defense, get mad on Twitter about it.
Yeah. So did you see that the NFL has approved a new kickoff rule?
I did.
I'm gonna guess you don't like it.
No, I just
wanted to stop messing around with things for a bit.
Yeah, I didn't even like when they moved the extra point back.
So if anybody here watched the old or what was it, XFL Version 3, I guess. Because this wasn't Vince McMahon's second XFL that had the rule. It was like The Rock's one that had this weird kickoff rule.
This is now version 3 because The Rock brought back version 2. Now they merged with the other league. So it's a 2.5 or whatever you want to call it.
3.5?
Sure. Let's call it 2.5.
Okay. So The Rock's version of the XFL had this weird kickoff rule where basically nobody can move until the kick returner caught the ball, and they could do fair catches on kickoffs now. Like, I don't know. It's weird. I get trying to make things safer, but maybe making things safer means we just get rid of a kickoff.
Right. That'll be the next step, I'm sure.
Like, honestly, if they're going to go down this route, I'd rather what they just do is say, all right, team that just scored, you get two options. One is you can give the ball back to the other team. They'll get it there 25. Second is your quote onside kick is like one play 4th and 10 from, I don't know, say your own 30 or something like that.
Right, that'd be fun.
You obviously can't see this because it's an audio podcast, but the one winged angel decided to make their appearance, and all I see is the tail.
This is the tail. That's all. This. She always knows when there's a camera nearby.
All right, so it's time for the last segment of the show, Truman's Terrible Team of the Week.
That's terrible.
I'm going to bring it up because it was definitely Montreal getting slammed by Seattle 5-0. I think that was Seattle's first win of the year. So that's pretty embarrassing. I just want to bring it up here. First of all, Jordan Morris scored a goal. I didn't even know Jordan Morris was still playing, but good for him. He's been around the league for a hot minute, that guy. Yeah, they got a player sent off in the 53rd minute, but at that point, they'd already given up 3 goals. So that was not to blame for them getting absolutely blasted. MLS is a little weird to start the season, I feel. A little weird.
Yeah.
You know, Columbus, Cincy good, us kind of a surprise. The Sounders starting off super weak. I don't think anyone really saw that coming.
Can I put an honorable mention for Inter Miami? For their CONCACAF Champions Cup performance?
Yeah, why not?
3-1 loss on the road to Monterrey, which, whatever, it's a road game in CONCACAF, but an aggregate loss of 5-2. Ooh, that is not a good look.
Yeah. Did Messi even play in that game? Hold on.
I think he did.
Just want to double check. He did. He did play in that game. Just want to double check.
Oh, and apparently they got red cards in both of their matches, too, which is kind of funny.
Oh, yeah, they sure did.
So honorable mention for that.
Absolutely.
Right. Nothing else? We're done with this episode?
I think so. I think this was a pretty good episode. I think we stacked it up with a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah, we did. Oh, you know what? I forgot to play the perfect sound effect.
And his name is John C.
I should have played that when we talked WrestleMania. The thing is, like, all right, so the soundboard I use has a mobile app, and literally every other sound, it's just like a generic image. But for his sound effect, it's literally him, and I've been staring at him all night, and I just...
You can actually see him? Embarrassing!
I can't believe you could actually see him.
I know, right? All right. Anyway, let's wrap this one up. You can visit us at patreon.com/redbullrant. $1 a month gets you anything exclusive that we decide to do. Email us, redbullrant@gmail.com. If you want to call us, 973-348-5329. Facebook.com/redbullrant. On Twitter, @redbullrant for the show. @DrSeuss for myself, @TheTruman for Truman. Subscribe to our show via iTunes, YouTube Music, YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast. Last words before we get out of here.
I think I should be back to watching the game live, so that's good. No crazy things going on for me. So that being said, I want to see a crazy Red Bull Arena. I hope everybody's fired up. I hope the supporter section's going nuts. This is the time to do it. Let's embrace this team. They're playing well. They're fun to watch. There's no reason to not go unless you live like Jay and I do and really, really far away. I want to sit on this couch and watch a nice big Red Bull win.
I was trying to find the twist and shout. Oh, there it is. All right. So with that, for Truman and myself, this has been episode 455 of the Red Bull Rant. Thank you guys for tuning in, and as always, go Red Bull.
Don't kill us.